pre-recorded from his basement. It's the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 2 of the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group's Bills Wire. We have not been canceled yet. We are still here, somehow. Honestly, the only criticism I received of the first episode was that the Variety Hour cannot be an hour long. So,
I think it should be 2 hours.
Exactly. The Kyle Selagi Variety 2 hours. So this podcast, minimum 120 minutes. Just kidding. We'll try to keep it to like a half an hour, maybe. If we go a little over, we go over. If we go under, you know, it's fine. It's fine. So today we got a few great topics. The headliner, if you will, is should the Bills look into acquiring Jadeveon Clowney through a trade or just trying to sign him because he's currently has a non-exclusive franchise tag, but we'll get into that in a few moments. But first, I'd like to introduce my guests for this week. We have returning for the second consecutive week. He is Bills Wire staff writer Justin DeLauro. D-Lo, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming back. You know, it means a lot that you would come back here for the second week. And we also have a first-timer. We have a writer here today. It is Bills Wire staff writer Rich Kowalski. Rich, how are you?
Wow, that was quite the introduction there.
Oh, my
there.
God.
Maybe we'll edit it out. Maybe we will.
You know, I'm just happy to be on here from our West Coast desk of Bills Wire. And,
yes, the West Coast office.
Yeah, our West Coast establishment, yeah. But it's great. Great to be on here. I can't wait to talk some good variety topics.
Oh, thank you. We have a great number of variety topics here today, and we'll throw over to you for the first one. Yesterday was the Champions League final, yesterday as the time of this recording. We're recording on Sunday. Champions League final, Tottenham versus Liverpool. Liverpool won 2-0. Rich, I mean, Bills Wire is a great collection of Tottenham fans. You, perhaps, the most passionate out of all of them. So, just what were your reactions to that game, especially after going down so early?
It was just a disappointment. You know, they've gone down early before, and I've been able to battle back a lot of times, but they just did not have it. I mean, I didn't have much hope going into the game either, too, so it wasn't like I expected them to really win. To not score a goal, that's just a bummer when you watch all 90 minutes and no goals from them. And Harry Kane didn't do anything, so that even made it worse. But yeah, I think Nick took it the roughest. I think he probably had a bad morning this morning, hungover, I'm sure.
That is Nick Wotan, of course, our wonderful, fearless leader here at Bills Wire. So just when they go down, I was watching the game. I didn't have an allegiance, of course. I really didn't care who won. But just 30 seconds into the game, when they call that handball and they give the penalty, what goes through your mind in that moment where you're just like, oh, I've been waiting for a month for this game, and here we are. We're going to be down a minute into the game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the same thing happened almost essentially when they played Man City and Danny Rose got a handball in the box. Thankfully, that instance, Hugo Lloris made the save. But this one, it's so unfortunate because he just had his hand up, just pointing to his other defender getting into their form, and he just, it was in his armpit too, so it was even kind of close, and that made it worse. But I thought they were going to – I mean, they had some pressure after that and started to try to make a run and maybe tie it, and they just couldn't even get anything close. I mean, it was just night and day between the two teams.
Yeah, I just I felt sorry for all of you guys, you, Nick, Jeremy.
Jeremy's a newcomer as well, too, with the
– Is he?
Tottenham fans. Oh, yeah. He started a couple months ago. Started following
them. Oh, so he's a bandwagoner.
No, you know, he picked them. He thought they resembled the Bills quite a bit. You know, no trophies.
They're good.
They are good, but they can't ever quite finish.
That doesn't resemble the Bills in the slightest.
No, never.
I mean, he goes through enough suffering with the Bills and the Sabres. I mean, might as well.
Yeah.
If you're going to pick
what's
a new team.
More?
Yeah. Pick a good one. Pick one that they don't let you down as often.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's one that's one silver lining.
Speaking of being let down often, we'll transition to the Bills topic here. And today's topic is surrounding one of the most dominant pass rushers in the league. He has been for quite some time. It's Houston Texans linebacker / defensive end, just pass rusher, Jadeveon Clowney. I was telling D'Lo about this before we recorded. I had to look up how to pronounce Jadeveon before we recorded here, so I watched a clip of Jimmy Fallon interviewing him, and Jimmy Fallon's like, Jadeveon, good to have you on the show. Do people mispronounce your name a lot? And he's like, yeah. And Fallon's like, okay, how do they pronounce it? And he goes, Jadeveon. So, it is Jadeveon. That is confirmed. Jadeveon Clowney. Also
per
confirmed.
Sources.
Yeah, per AP source. Jadeveon. Also confirmed. He's a very good pass rusher. He has 29 career sacks. Been in the league a few years. Of course, everyone first heard of him, or casual fans first heard of him a few years ago when he had that hit when he was at South Carolina.
Yeah, the Outback Bowl.
Yep. Yes. Everyone just fell in love with him. Wasn't even eligible for the draft that year. Went first overall in the year after that. And he's just been wreaking havoc ever since. But he is currently without a contract. Currently sitting on a franchise tag. Non-exclusive franchise tag. About to make $16 million, roughly, per Spotrac or Spotrac, whatever. If they can't reach an agreement by July 15th, and he eventually, you know, they just decide that he's going to play it out. But, I mean, there's always the possibility that they don't reach out a deal and that he just doesn't want to sign long-term here, or sign long-term with the Texans. And, I mean, his name's been in trade rumors recently. And as I said last week with the Kyle Rudolph situation, which is still unresolved, but where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. And Clowney's name has been in trade rumors for a few months here. So, I mean, there's a possibility that Houston is looking to move him. And Buffalo, we know they love their defensive linemen. So, D'Lo, just quickly, what are your just thoughts on Jadeveon Clowney and the possibility of him coming to Buffalo?
It would be nice to get a premier pass rusher. I mean, Jerry Hughes has been solid the last few years. He tore it up last year. Didn't really get the results that we expected. But somebody like Clowney would command a much stronger share of the offense's pass blocking, obviously. I'm just thinking, like, with the Bills, when was the last time, do you remember, the Bills getting consistent pass rush pressure from just the front four? It's been a while, right?
2014 or something.
Yeah,
like it's been a few years. It's like the Jim Schwartz days. So you kind of think it would be amazing to bring in somebody like him to pair opposite Hughes. It's just, I think you're going to have to really like bite down and deal with the cost. Since he's a non-exclusive franchise tag player, it's going to cost the Bills at least two first round picks that they would send in response if the Texans don't match the deal. So if you're thinking like $16 million now is not a lot, you're going to have a player who's probably going to make in excess of maybe $20 million a season. So that's something that will really have to really think strongly about if this is something that we really want to put into fruition for the club. I think it would be amazing to be able to go back and have a front four that could just terrorize quarterbacks. I just don't think this is going to be the easiest and most clear option, the easiest path for the Bills to fulfill that.
Yeah, I just don't think that this trade will ever come to fruition. I think that there is some writing on the wall with, you know, Brian Gaines being their GM in Houston and having that previous relationship with Bean last year or 2 years ago. So there is some sort of hope in terms of a trade there, but so much of this reminds me of the Mario Williams trade or the Mario Williams signing. And it's not obviously the same caliber and the same timing, but I don't think they would be wise to spend all that money right now when they already have so much invested, you know, last year by signing Trent Murphy to a long-term deal as well. And now you just gave Hughes an extension. I just don't think they're going to want to put that money on their books and would like to spend it on the offensive side of the ball. So I just don't think this trade ends up happening or signing.
Yes, all very rational points, but you know, it's fun to talk about. It's a good podcast topic, if you will. It's a good headline for a podcast. So, as you guys said, I can't really see it happening either. There's just, as you said, Rich, with Trent Murphy, paying him a ton of money for the next few years, I don't see them bringing in another dominant pass rusher, considering the type of season Trent Murphy had last year, with being injured for the majority of it, and when he was playing, he wasn't all that good, to be honest there. But I think that they would like to give him a large number of snaps this year if he's healthy, just to see if he's worth that investment before just casting him aside for something newer and better in Jadeveon Clowney. But for just a second, let's say that they are interested in bringing him in. As you said, D'Lo, he's a non-exclusive franchise tag, so the Bills could technically negotiate with him. He's kind of like a restricted free agent in that sense. Bills could negotiate with him, but the Texans could match, and then if they don't match, Bills have to give up 2 first-round picks. That's not going to happen. I don't see a scenario where any team just goes straight to him and then gives up 2 first-round picks.
Sounds Clowney's like something good. The Raiders would do.
That is a very Raiders move, and they have the picks. So, you heard it here first. Report.
Yeah. Breaking.
yes. But let's just say that they do go in for a trade for him. Rich, what are you comfortable giving up for Clowney, hypothetically?
Hypothetically, I mean, you're going to have to give up something, obviously, high. Hypothetically, I'd give them, you know, a first-round pick and second-round pick maybe the year after, 2 second rounds, something along those lines. Because, I mean, you're really just taking that huge amount of money off of the Texans' books, so you might get some sort of, you know, discount by doing that and by taking him away. But it's going to cost a lot.
Yeah, I agree that it's going to be a steep price. But I think the Bills took massive strides this offseason, improving the offense, and they improved the defense, which was already quite good. So I think their first-round pick in 2020, I think that's a mid-teens pick. I think they're an 8 or 9 win team. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a 13 or 14 range, if not higher teens. But if they get Clowney then, if they go out and acquire Clowney, their team's even better. So I think if you do trade your first-round pick in 2020 and then a roster player maybe, they have to give up a Shaq Lawson in this deal. That was a rumor a few weeks back. But if they do trade maybe their first-round pick in 2020 and a Shaq Lawson, I think that's an early 20s pick probably, because I think they're a playoff team. Not right now, but if they bring in a dominant player like Clowney on the defensive side of the ball, I think that defense is dragging the team to the playoffs regardless of how lifeless the offense is, to be honest. So you'd be giving up a early 20s draft pick and Shaq Lawson, who is due for a contract next year, maybe Shaq Lawson if not a different player, but just hypothetically Shaq Lawson, who is due for a contract next year, for a player you are not getting it with pick 21 or 22, and a player you are not getting out of Shaq Lawson. So, D'Lo, with a situation like that, just how would you feel about dealing your 2020 first-round pick and a roster player for Clowney? Do you think that is a realistic return for Houston, and do you think that would be a good package there?
Well, here's what can I pose something else to you guys?
Go ahead.
I say we don't touch him in 2019. We just let it be, right? Let him play out his contract. There's, you know, whatever. Giving up 2 firsts with a non-exclusive tag is going to be a pain for us. It's a lot to give up. Let's fast forward to the 2020 offseason. Do we make a play then? I mean, the Bills right now have, according to Spotrac, $45 million in cap space for the 2020 season going forward. Mm-hmm. Is it something that next March we sit down and say, you know what? Let's make a really big play because we know that Jerry Hughes is getting a little older. Trent Murphy's contract has a couple more years on it. Would it be something that we take a swing at? And I think that would be truthfully more realistic than and more favorable than the Bills making a play on him, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, but still, I just don't see the Bills trying to go for the defensive side of the ball that hard. I think that they might end up trying to get Josh Allen another weapon on offense. I mean, the receiving core. Like, and there are some good players available in the 2020 offseason. You have A.J. Green, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent. You could throw some money on him. I mean, why not go for someone like that to really try to balance each side of the ball, because it's so heavily right now defensively in the signings they've made in the past. And they're not really adding much quality to offense. They're adding guys that they'd like to see, who they can, or like what they can do at the NFL level. But I mean, if you could save that money, put it towards something on the offensive side of the ball to really try to make a big push, and not this year, the year after, that would be fantastic. And I mean, Clowney, he's not super young still. I mean, he's had some injuries in the past too, so do those kind of factor into it as well? They might.
Oh, they absolutely do. When you're investing, even if you are waiting off a season and you are going to potentially make him the highest defensive paid player in the league, I mean, you take all of that into account. You take his past injuries, his future, his longevity, which we don't know about his longevity, like you said, given his past injuries there. But to bring up the point you brought up, D'Lo, I understand waiting a year, but so much can happen in a year for this team. So much can happen. I mean, Trent Murphy can emerge next year, can break out and have 10 sacks, and then we're not even talking about Clowney, which I guess is fine, because then you have a production already there. And then you talk about Shaq Lawson potentially bringing him back, because he could be in for a breakout year. We'll see if he even sticks around for next year.
Contract year players play harder usually.
Yeah, exactly. But just there's something I really like about Clowney and Hughes flanking Ed Oliver and Star Lotulelei. That is just, you're not getting any pass rushing out of Star, but Ed Oliver, I mean, he can create pressure on his own. Hughes, we know Jerry Hughes he doesn't get the respect nationwide, but after we've watched him for what? How many years has he been here? I think he's the longest tenured Bill now.
Yeah.
So we know just how good he is, and you add Clowney to that mix, that is one of the most talented front fours in football. And then Trent Murphy and Shaq Lawson coming in to rotate, Eddie Yarborough coming in occasionally. That is a very scary defensive front. And an argument to that could be just wait for next year for that. But I don't know. I could see waiting for that. But then also, if you can get him now and all you're giving up is a early 20s pick, and if you do give up Lawson, then Yarborough's in the second team. Yarborough, a very capable rotational defensive end. Mm-hmm. I mean, just get him now, and then just playoffs, maybe.
That's all that. Now plus Jadeveon equals playoffs.
Exactly. Simple maths.
I mean, if you get him now, I mean, somehow if we get him, you got to sign him, and you got to make sure you have that financial commitment. And I don't know if that's something that Buffalo is going to dive into. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, why not give him? I mean, all told, with what we have with Jerry Hughes, you know, he'll end up being here, what, 6-7 years by the time his contract term is over. You give Clowney 6 or 7 years, you're expecting him to kind of end his career with, or not necessarily end his career with Buffalo, but the contract would take him to about age 32, 33 season. I mean, it would be the same thing. It would parallel, but it would just be worth a lot more money.
Yeah, to bring up a potential contract, I found a website called Texans Cap. There's apparently somebody who has a website.
There's all cowboy hats. That's
dedicated.
What they sell.
Yes, articles on the Texan salary cap plus cowboy hats. He wrote a bunch of hypotheticals, had a bunch of player comparisons for Clowney, and one of his conclusions was that a reasonable contract for Clowney in Houston could be 6 years, $142.5 million.
Wow,
that's good for an average of roughly $23.75 million per year, and that's
that's a lot.
In the 6 years, he'll be taking up anywhere between 10% and 14% of the salary cap, which is a ton.
That's a ton, especially for a team. For one player on a team that rotates defensive linemen. So Clowney will be playing 60 or 70% of the snaps in Buffalo.
You could pay like two position groups with that money.
Yeah.
You could. So that raises the question. I mean, just looking at what Buffalo does with their, you know, heavy rotation of defensive linemen, I'll go to you, Rich. Are you comfortable paying a player like Clowney, as dominant as he is? You know he's going to be productive. He has been. He has 29 career sacks. Mm-hmm. You know that you are going to get a dominant pass rusher, but are you comfortable paying or giving 14% of the salary cap to him when he's paying or when he's going to be playing like 60% of the defensive snaps, maybe?
I'm not comfortable, but I mean, I don't know what Bean is feeling, and I wouldn't be surprised if he is starting to see, you know, are other teams interested in him? You know, what are they looking to pay for him? Maybe just start fielding some calls, and I don't know if they're going to trade secrets or anything, but I mean, you could get a feel of what they're looking to pay him. I'm not comfortable paying that much amount of money because I personally would not want to pay him, but I mean, Bean could be looking at, you know, this being the time where the Bills really need to make a push and start moving that process along and getting closer to the playoffs. And if he sees that being a piece, he's going to, you know, do what it takes to get that piece here.
D'Lo?
No, I'm just looking up edge rushers and their cap hits right now. It's me versus my computer.
D'Lo's
right
just
now.
Playing Tetris. And the computer's over there.
All right, so yeah. Here we go. I got some Tetris going. I'm out. There's only one edge rusher whose cap hit is above $20 million right now. So, and that's Von Miller.
Yeah.
Melvin Ingram second. Chandler Jones is third.
Is Davion Clowney in that upper tier?
Yep, he's fourth.
Yes.
No, is he? Do you think he deserves? Does he deserve being in that top tier of edge rushers?
I mean, if he hits the open market, it doesn't matter what he deserves. That's what he's getting.
Yeah, it's
he's,
like Derek Carr being the highest paid quarterback a couple years ago.
It's a lot of production there.
He'll get his money, whether it's from Houston, Buffalo, or any other team in the league. Someone is going to make him probably the highest paid defensive
player. Per sources, it's on the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour. It is the Oakland Raiders.
It's Oakland. Even though they have no more money, they'll figure it out. That Las Vegas money.
Well, I mean, they did ship, you know, Khalil Mack out, so that's a lot of money that they just cleared up for themselves.
Yeah, and they gave it to a 31-year-old Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. It's solid, man. I mean, he's going to make Derek Carr good again.
That locker room is going to be something.
It's going to be awesome.
That, and let's just talk about Oakland for a second before
that
we get back
is
to
a
Clowney.
Sitcom.
That, but just beyond that locker room, let's just look at what they did. Last year, they traded a, 24-year-old Amari Cooper to go out. Amari Cooper, I don't know if he's ever had a bad thing said about him in the locker room. Mm. Just from what I can tell, just a good guy and a very good football player. We saw that when he got to Dallas. And then to try to replace that production, they go out and get Antonio Brown.
There you go.
30-year-old Antonio Brown.
The wrong side. Yeah.
I like Antonio Brown. I was excited when the Bills had him for 3 minutes there, but
I mean, they went for Jordy Nelson last year too. They go for old receivers that are past their prime now with this organization and the regime they have. It's just backwards.
It doesn't make sense. Like, and they trade Khalil Mack. I don't get it. I don't get what they're doing. And then they draft Cleveland Farrell fourth overall.
Yes.
The best thing is they talk about character with Cleveland Farrell, and then they go and sign Richie Incognito. It's just like, what? What character? What is your definition of character? Like, they're a character? Or, like, what?
Yeah, so they like you said, could be a sitcom character. That's a character.
Absolutely. I just like it because Gruden said something pass rushers are really hard to find.
Yep, a day after trading Khalil Mack.
they don't come around often.
And you had the best!
If you made a sitcom of the Raiders, Nathan Peterman would be the friendly milkman or mailman. He would definitely...
And he'd drop the milk.
He'd drop the...
Duh.
Howdy, neighbors!
Deliver it to the wrong house.
Yeah. Intercepted. If the Raiders were a sitcom, what station would it be on?
Probably True TV.
True. AMC.
Fourth.
Oh, they're not that dramatic.
They have the slide guitar theme.
So yeah, we'll just go back to Clowney here. It's not nearly as fun to talk about as the Oakland Raiders.
This is now Raiders Wire.
They have to be on Hard Knocks. Like, it, they're not excluded from the list of potential Hard Knocks teams, are they?
I don't even know how one qualifies to be on Hard Knocks. There's, to like, be honest.
Three. There's a set of rules. It's like you can't be in the playoffs the last couple of years.
You can't have a new head coach within. Yeah, there's some, the last. There's something. So Oakland, I think they are excluded. Yeah, because they're the last 2 years.
Oh my,
that's just dumb.
Coach in the last 2 years. Yeah, and then if you've been on it in the past, you can say no.
Oh wait! It looks like I think the Raiders can. 49ers, Raiders, Giants, Redskins. Oh wow. And Lions, as per this article.
Oh, yeah, I think it's the first year of a head coach, that's right. And then playoffs within the last 2 years.
Yeah, so, see, okay, first year head coach in place, playoff berth, last 2 years. They have appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I would want the Lions out of those, to be honest. I just want to see Matt Patricia.
You just want to see a bunch of tight ends. Oh, my God.
Stafford to Hawk again and again and again.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
I just want to see Matt Patricia at his desk just sharpening pencil, putting some oil in his beard.
He definitely has a manual pencil sharpener just screwed into his desk.
Yeah,
from Belichick High School.
And he calls Bill all the time.
This is I Heart Tom.
That's half the show. It's just him calling Bill Belichick.
Bill, what do I do?
Yeah, Bill, I don't know what I'm doing.
just chewing gum.
Yeah. All right. We'll get back to Clowney here. Our tangent has gone on long enough.
It's off the rails.
It went way off the rails though. There, just, you know, we got that intel that Raiders after Clowney, and we went with it. But
need to put an asterisk next to that.
Yes, asterisk. But so we established that Clowney, very good player. But we're not very comfortable potentially giving 14% of the salary cap to a player who's going to play 60 to 70% of the defensive snaps. Mm-hmm. But let's just look at this Bills' current defensive end group. We've got Jerry Hughes, who's not going anywhere. Money. Trent Murphy, sticking around at least 2019. Shaq Lawson, we'll see. And then it takes a dive. We got Eddie Yarborough, who's good. Sometimes in a rotational role, he's fine. Mike Love, who played a few games last year, toward the end of the season, he was on the practice squad for the majority of the year. We got Daryl Johnson, I think, is an under-the-radar guy. Mm-hmm. I like Daryl Johnson. I did an interview with him for Bills.com. Just seems to have a good head on his shoulders, knows what he's doing, just very dominant. D2, I think he was D2 or D3 college player, and he left a year early just because he said his best football's ahead of him, and he's going to get more out of a year under NFL coaches than he would out of his senior year at college. So I think if he makes that adjustment quickly, mm-hmm. he could be someone to watch, but just that's a lot of ifs. So let's say he's a practice squad guy, and Eli Harold, who they signed recently, I don't know if he's a 53 lock per se. But just that's a good defensive end group, but it's not great. They are a Jadeveon Clowney away from putting them over the edge. But I don't know. I've kind of talked myself out of it, this hypothetical, in this podcast, just because Clowney would look really good on that defense, it's not even the trade package, because I'd be comfortable giving a 2019 first, because I do believe that's going to be, if Clowney's on the team, that's going to be in the 20s. But just that, the cap, man, just the money, I don't really want to be giving that much money to a player who plays a position that they value, but they rotate a lot. There's not really a need for a dominant player at defensive end, just because he's not going to be on the field for 100% of the defensive snaps. He's not a Trey White. He's not a Micah Hyde. He's not a Jordan Poyer. He's not going to be on the field for every snap. So do you need to pay him the highest salary on the team when he's not doing as much, or he'll be doing a lot, but he's just not playing as much as Trey White or these players who you're going to have to give bigger contracts in the coming years. And especially, according to Spotrac, the Bills right now have $22 million in cap space. So they wouldn't even have enough to pay him that $23 million. They would have to do some other roster moves.
Plus, Houston doesn't have to be forced to make a deal.
Yeah,
I mean, they have him on the field for a year, in theory, unless he goes Le'Veon Bell style. So, I mean, it's something where they don't have to force it. He would be a nice addition to the Bills. It's just, it just doesn't seem like it'll align this year.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think the Bills are ready to pull the trigger on that yet. And if they are, it's a bold move by Bean, but we've seen him make bold moves before and they've paid off, so we'll see.
Well, there you have it. Jadeveon Clowney, good player. Just, it doesn't look like it could happen this year. Maybe next year, if he does indeed hit the open market and the Bills still have not a need but a want at defensive end, sure, pull the trigger then. But right now, I mean, they have the capital, the trade capital, but they don't have the fiscal capital, I don't believe, to get a deal done. So before we go here, I just want to do a quick little section on the Sabres to truly make this a variety hour, so it's not just Kyle Solege Bills hour. So I will go to Bills Wire's resident Sabres expert. We've tried to launch Sabres Wire for years now. Yeah. It's just never going to happen. D'Lo, what's going on with Jeff Skinner? Why is he not signed yet?
You know, that's an amazing question. So Skinner, obviously, very, 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 very good player. Great scorer. It's nice to have somebody like him next to your franchise center and Jack Eichel. But it's just interesting that something's holding up this deal, and that there's something funky going on, because you would just feel like, okay, if the two sides were like reasonably, the money has to be close. I mean, what are they nitpicking about right now? If you're signing him, if the Sabres want him for like 8 years at, I don't know, 8 years at $68 million, what's the difference between 8 years at $68 million really and 8 years at $74 million? The challenge is, are they getting cold feet because they're looking at the end of that contract and thinking this is going to be a train wreck when he gets in his 30s and that, you know, we might not be able to get the production back from him? I just don't know, but I think this fan base needs to have a scorer next to Jack Eichel. Mm-hmm. I mean, 8 years, like, let's just throw it out there. 8 years, $9 million a year, $72 million. It's pretty good for an English teacher. let's just do it. I mean, and then you know what? This franchise has been burned so many times by things, but you know what? We've never had a player of this caliber. And yeah, I know Skinner hasn't been to the playoffs and there's all that stuff and whatnot, but it would be nice to have that as our main building piece, he and Eichel together. And then let's see if we could figure out what's going on around him with the defense. I mean, I thought the defense was our, between the defense and secondary scoring, I mean, they got to be able to figure that out. But just letting Skinner go, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to match that production and have any type of, you know, fear from opposing defenses if they don't have these two guys going full force all year.
Yeah, I mean, I see this Eichel Skinner marriage as being the one thing that can get the Sabres back to the playoffs, and you put people around that and build off of that. I think that's such a important thing. I don't see why they haven't, you know, I don't understand why they haven't really come to an agreement yet. They've had so much time, and I mean, the hockey combine was obviously in town, so that might have been a bit of a distraction, but I mean, I just don't understand why they haven't come close on the numbers. When you have someone that you clearly can see that can give you the production you want and is working well with your franchise player, why not, you know, pay the money, keep that? You see the best teams do that all the time. You put people around them and keep them into lock them into long-term contracts to see what they can, you know, you can get out of your franchise player. And they've tried it with O'Reilly, and now they're trying it with Skinner. And I think you just got to keep that going and pay him.
Yeah, I might rant here, but
let's do it
anyway. The Sabres are in a lose-lose situation here.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Skinner, I like Jeff Skinner. He's a, I mean, as we saw, he's a good player, a 40 goal scorer. He did that once in his career. So let's just say, hypothetically, they give him what he wants. They give him his 8-year, $72 million. That is a lot of money. And it just reeks of a contract they are going to regret 3 years from now. It reeks of a Kyle Okposo contract. Which, I mean, and when that happened, when Kyle Okposo got that money, everyone was like, oh, cool, that he was good in New York. Put him on Eichel's wing. He'll be very good. He was good for half a year, and then we saw what happened.
Yeah.
He's not bad, but he's not good anymore. He's a third or a fourth line winger. Mm-hmm. It's a lose-lose because I think they're going to end up paying Skinner just because they kind of have to.
Yeah.
I think they're going to end up paying Skinner, and even if they do get another 40-goal year out of him, or two 40-goal years out of him, I mean, you're going to be paying him, what? What is that average, English teacher, D'Lo?
What are the
eight
numbers?
8 years, $72 million.
Eight years. $9 million a year.
New York State 9 certified million a teacher. Year.
Yes, he's the teacher.
Certified.
Professor.
$9 million a year. I mean, you can front load it, but, I mean, his cap, it's probably still going to be $9 million when he's in his mid-30s. You're not getting that production out of a mid-30s Jeff Skinner. I just don't foresee that happening. But then again, if you just let him walk, you are going to be... The Sabres are going to be ridiculed by fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think... you know what? That doesn't even matter. Because this team has done a lot over the last 10 years that you would think would cause some fan unrest. But the fans keep going to the game. And when they show a little bit of hope, when there's a 10-game winning streak, the fans are right back there selling
banner
out the arena. I mean, this team literally did a rebuild, hired a new GM, and then just totally undid that rebuild, and now they're in the middle of another one.
Yeah,
I don't.
They should have a banner for the rebuilds they've had, like seven
they should.
Rebuilds.
Longest rebuild.
Longest rebuild. 2010.
Banner for Tim.
2012 to 2019. Yeah, retire his number.
Two
his
years
initials.
Of just nothing.
That's a different debate for a different time, but I mean, Tim Murray was not a bad GM. Tim Murray was fired far too early. I mean, look at his final roster and this roster they have now. I don't know. Just how do you get rid of O'Reilly and Evander Kane?
But I don't, Kyle, you don't understand. They are cancers in the locker room.
Oh yeah.
Don't you understand?
You know what? You know what will fix this all? Is if they just change to the red and black jerseys.
Right, and royal blue.
We need royal blue.
Help the fans. The fans deserve royal blue jerseys.
It's like a give and take relationship. It's like, if you suck, you have to give us something and give us royal blue. And that's what I'm not surprised if they had like some sort of change.org petition to change it to royal blue.
The royal blue is ugly. The royal blue is ugly.
You think? Yeah.
It looked good on Jill Perreault, but I don't... It's 2019.
Yeah.
It just... get over the past. I'm sorry. Just get over the past.
You're telling the people to get over the past that tweet 50 Photoshop jerseys of the Sabres a week.
It's just... I don't know. Whatever.
See, I'm old enough to remember the outrage in the mid-90s when they came out with the red and black and the goat head. That
it should be an alternate, I think, at least. Like, think of the players they could draw to Buffalo with that.
Yeah. The royal blue jersey, and then we'll be an attractive...
Yeah, no, I made the signing because, you know, that royal blue jersey, eh?
Oh, yeah, you know, gotta get pucks in deep here, but I'll be looking good doing it there, eh?
I think I think if any of our listeners
sounds like Rob Ray,
go 32. Think if any of our listeners want to have like an NHL wire, they should definitely contact our bosses.
Yes, I will not say our bosses' names, but
change.org.
Change.org.
Bring the Sabres wire to.
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up here.
That's Buffalo sports in a nutshell.
They're going to regret signing Jeff Skinner, and they're also going to regret not signing Jeff Skinner. But fans will get over it if they don't re-sign Jeff Skinner, because they'll switch to royal blue jerseys. Or they'll do something. They'll forget about it when they draft what's the kid's name? Alex Turcotte or whatever.
Alex Turcotte. He's a good guy. Yeah. I like him.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be good in 5 years. Just
oh, well, nobody's, yeah, no, we're not going to see this guy. Like, I like Cole Caulfield because he's my, like, short guy hope person. So, yep. I mean, I love him because he scores 72 goals and he's, like, only 3 inches, 4 inches taller than me. So, I mean, I'm in.
Wow.
I've lost faith.
There's an analysis.
I've lost faith in the Sabres. I don't even, yeah, I don't I've, care
I lost faith
anymore.
A while ago. I just loosely follow them, and when they're on the streak, you know, like last year, it was cool and fun to watch, yeah. But then after a while, you're like, okay, this is the same team that played terribly the night before, and just simple mistakes is what was so frustrating watching them the last 2 years. You know, hopefully yeah. that changes, but, I mean, the coach they got, who knows what's going to happen with him, how they're going to play under him. It's such a question mark. You know, they didn't get their white whale. I don't know.
Yeah, I just... I've said I don't know, but that's the only thing I can say when it comes to the Sabres nowadays is I don't know. Just how...
They should come up with an I don't know jersey.
How you can trade Ryan O'Reilly and sell it like he was the problem.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he's a locker room leader on a Western Conference Finals winning team?
Yeah. I mean, the fans were outraged last year when he was saying it wasn't fun to play hockey, and then...
It's not fun to watch.
No, yeah, exactly.
Losing is not
fun. Like, you have some, you know, you can sympathize with him about that. And they did not take it. A lot of them did not take it that way.
Hey, Robin Leonard, he's a Vezina candidate.
Oh, Vezina finalist. Evander Kane was a winger on the other Western Conference Finals team.
I don't think the return on those trades worked out really
well. Pure comedy.
Well, it looks like that'll do it here for us today. On the second episode of the Kyle Selegity Variety 40 Minutes. So, yeah, we'll go to D'Lo first. D'Lo, where can the people find you on the internet?
They can find me on the good old Twitter at JDILORO, at JDeLoro, and they can reach out for anything, hopefully all kinds of fun stuff and no anger or hatred, because it's summertime. There's no need to be mad.
Yeah.
It is. Wow.
Summertime.
That's staying in. Rich, where can they find you?
On Twitter, at @by Rich Kowalski, Kowalski. I tweet sometimes.
Yep.
I vent. Yep. I put funny things sometimes I think are funny. But
do you tweet memes? Are you a meme account?
No, I am not. No, that would be great though if I had a meme account, just all Bills memes.
That would be funny.
Just Alan dunking memes and, you know, all those.
Hopping
memes.
Over people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jesus. There are enough of those on Twitter.
Those would kill.
Oh, yeah. You'd get some real organic traction there.
Buff fanatics would be all in my DMs.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Selegy. I'm not going to spell it out. It's in the podcast title. You can follow BillsWire, at the BillsWire. I think it's out on Facebook as well. And just read the articles, listen to the podcasts. They're all good. Some of them are good. It depends. And so that's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.